of it all, trustees huddled in their homes, wondering who could have started such a thing. I'll tell you who started it. Mr. Naive, that's who started it. The university's planner and rector, who had deluded himself into believing that students could govern themselves. Obviously, that concept was down for the count. But this is the rest of the story. Mr. Naive was a very old man, some said too old as an octogenarian to be fathering a university, but then again, friends insisted that he had not lost a speck of vitality over the past decade, that the college plans had seemed even to invigorate him. In any case, the most learned and distinguished professors were collected from all over the world. By the end of that June, there were 90 students enrolled. By fall, more than 100 were attending. Supposedly the best and the brightest they were, the sharpest young men from the finest families, just the sort to test the educational theories of Mr. Naive. Particularly that one theory which stated that college students were old enough and wise enough to handle self-government. But were they? For throughout summer school, there'd been scattered violence precipitated by pupils, so-called vicious irregularities, which culminated in the incident of October 1. That night, 14 armed, drunken students launched themselves on a raucous campus raid. Encountering two faculty members, the young thugs hurled first vulgar insults and then bricks. Nobody recalled how long the shouting, angry riot continued. Miraculously, nobody was seriously injured. Faculty met the following day, summoning the entire student body before them. There were more insults, including a written denunciation of the faculty, signed by a majority of the pupils, and then in stepped the Board of Governors, among them the rector himself, Mr. Naive. The offenders of the previous night, masked during the melee, as yet unidentified, were beseeched to turn themselves in. But hoots and jeers were the only response to that request. And then Mr. Naive himself rose to address the assembly. His lips moved, but he could not speak. And then the old man burst into tears. He just stood there, weeping, before the student body. And at last, clearly unable to put his grief into words, he sat down. The pupils were dumbfounded. And they were so moved that the culprits of the past night's rioting stepped forward in confession. Predictably, there were expulsions. One of them, the very nephew of Mr. Sadder but Wiser. Disillusioned, he had to admit now that self-government without self-discipline is self-defeating. And yet, even after the reins were tightened, the riots continued off and on, worse and worse riots, for 15 years, the last outbreak resulting in the shooting death of the chairman of the faculty. And they still talk about it in Charlottesville at the University of Virginia, about the 82-year-old founder whose heart was broken more than a century and a half ago because he, author and signer of the Declaration of Independence, planner of a nation, third president of the United States, Thomas Jefferson, Mr. Naive, had learned so bitterly and so late in life that there is indeed such a thing as too much freedom. Now you know the rest of the story.
Protecting what matters on The Right Choice, AM 1230, KPRL, 99.3 FM with Barry Fisher. Advice and information on protecting what matters most in today's world. Brought to you by Adler Belmont Insurance Brokers and their new associate, Heather Bordan, serving the commercial insurance needs of businesses on the Central Coast.
And good afternoon. Again, Barry's off today. He's on sabbatical, so you'll have to deal with me. My name's Eric Gorham, and most of you know me. I'm usually on here at least a handful of times a month. And we have Anita Showers, and I think a lot of people know that name just because I was talking during the break here about, you know, you worked, and we used to hear your name on, you used to give little reports on the radio for, what was it, the county? I can't remember what you said now. My memory.
Housing Authority.
So, and then, you know, I was thinking, and we kind of build this show a little bit, but I want to talk about you, and I want to talk about Miss Etiquette, you know, and I've heard you on radio, other radio stations. I've actually called into some of them, and you've been doing that. For how long have you been doing that part?
The etiquette part?
Yeah.
I was teaching for 30 years etiquette.
Okay.
So actually, I've known etiquette my whole life because I worked in the lofts. And you had to behave yourself then.
Right. And I will just make everybody jealous right now. I just got a signed copy of Socially Smart and Savvy. So thank you.
You're welcome.
So there's a book out. If people want to get this, how do they get it?
Go to Amazon.
Amazon, and we're looking at Socially Smart and Savvy. Top experts share their secrets for success. So I look forward to that.
Well, thank you very much.
So let's kind of go. I mean, you kind of gave me a bio, but I like to kind of feel things out. So it looks like you've kind of been around doing a lot of different things throughout your life that are kind of interesting. It looks like I was looking at, like, you started some things years ago in Washington, it looks like.
Yes, I worked in Washington, D.C. for Senator Tidings. And after that court study was over, I went over to Congresswoman Edith Green's office and worked for her.
Nice. Yeah. And what brought you here? What brought you?
I met my late husband in Hong Kong.
Oh, really? So you had to go to a foreign country to find... That's not a bad idea. I don't know. We have a mutual friend. Don't tell her that, but because I'm not looking at the moment. But if it doesn't work out, maybe I need to travel.
And then, actually, my late husband had an orthodontic practice here in Paso Robles that Dr. Miller purchased.
Oh, really? I remember Dr. Miller.
That's right.
Huh. Okay. So, and you went to Grover? Is that where you moved to, or?
Yes, I was in Miami when I met my late husband in Hong Kong.
Okay.
And I just went back to Miami and quit my job and got in my brand new car and moved to Grover City.
Really? Yeah, Grover City. We were actually having a good conversation in the hallway with
that
Dale.
Was great.
Right, and he's originally from South County, and then migrated to North County as he got older. Not that old. I mean, but he grew up down there, and I've heard some great stories that I don't know all the players because I'm fifth generation Paso, but I know the players here, but not so much over there. But it's always interesting listening because I do know a lot of those families, just not back in those days. So it's interesting to hear the history of the county, especially when it comes to ag and how the cities used to be, what Grover used to be, what Five Cities used to be. It's a lot different now.
We're trying desperately to keep some of the ag in South County. For instance, Okui's strawberry stand, that's 30 acres. And of course, the city has a map of that divided into streets, even with street names. And we don't mention that too much to Charles Okui.
Right.
It hurts his feelings, and we don't want to do that.
Right?
Yeah.
No, it is. We kind of, once we eliminate those ag properties, they never come back. They're gone, you know.
No, and then when you read about those properties and realize how close they are to the ocean, then you realize why that property is so valuable.
Right.
You can grow anything. But Charles goes up to Shasta and gets his plants and brings them back because we have the same climate.
Oh, really? Interesting.
I interviewed him years and years ago on the radio. Fascinating.
And yeah, that's interesting, actually. I wouldn't have thought that. But I guess it's kind of true. They got kind of that arid. Yeah.
Yeah, same soil.
Right. Huh. Interesting. And yeah, we kind of see it. A lot of that property disappears because you get these new generations and they have a retirement plan now because a lot of that property, some of it's worth millions and millions of dollars. And do you want to keep struggling with agriculture? Do you cash out, you know?
Well, it depends on the children and the grandchildren. What do they want? So today, most children and grandchildren don't want the land. They want the money.
Right. Yeah. No, 100%.
Kind of sad after what their grandparents and parents have done. Right? They've kept all this agriculture alive.
I just got a text from somebody. They're asking if you go a little bit or bring the mic a little closer.
Oh, thank you. Maybe that's better.
There you go.
Okay.
And you've wrote other books too. I think we can maybe get into that. You wrote one on Grover. So
I wrote the Grover Beach history book. The people had come to Grover and asked if anyone would write this book, and nobody knew what the woman was talking about. And then she left, and someone called me and said, you need to call the publishers of the book Images of America, because they have over 410,000 books now about all the cities in the United States that people would want to write about. And now they're also available in all of the universities in Europe, the same set of books.
Oh, really? Yeah. Interesting.
So I did that. I was in school getting my bachelor's degree, so I just let the dean know that I had to take 4 weeks off. I was going to write a book.
There you go.
And
that's funny. That's awesome, though. Huh, in 4 weeks, huh? Wow, that's pretty quick.
I had a deadline. I'm always very time conscious.
Right.
So I knew I could do it in 4 weeks. I just had to learn how to take the photographs because you couldn't do
it. Oh, you had to do the photographs too.
You can't use newspaper clippings. You have to use photographs or actual maps to put in the book.
Right. Right. Okay.
So I did that.
Interesting. That's I would have thought they'd have a few people helping you out with that, but that's interesting. That's some work. In 4 weeks, that's pretty good. That's a real good. I've been writing a small book recently, and believe me, it's long past 4 weeks, you know, and I still have probably 6 chapters to go, so.
But you're on it. You're doing it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You got to make yourself. I have to get in there and take a break every once in a while. Just because of the subject matter that I'm writing on. Sometimes you got to go, okay, enough. Like, I need to.
If you remember, Catcher in Rye just started with a very catchy first words, right?
Right.
And then he was off on it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It all started with, those are the first words.
Oh, yeah. It did. Yeah.
You remember.
No, and you know what? That's my favorite author growing up. As a kid, like in junior high and high school, I think because I spent so much time in that part of California. My grandparents were Pebble Beach, and I had family in Monterey and Carmel. So I think I think Catcher in the Rye might have been the first book of his that I read, but I think I read all of them because it captured my attention because I ran around all over Salinas. I mean, all over this area, and it's just interesting. Wow. Okay, 4 weeks. Now you're making me feel bad about what I'm doing.
Okay, 5 weeks.
Right?
No, you're on 6 weeks. All right, I did it in 6 weeks.
Right, right. And my worst thing is I'll finish it and probably scrutinize it for another couple months, like fixing things and changing things. And that's just how my mind works, I guess. I'm never like one and done. So it's unfortunate, but
you have a plan.
I know how I work. Yeah. You know, we all know, we all work differently. I got to get the idea out, then I expand on the idea, and then I say I wrote too much, and I cut it back and make it more interesting.
Well, they tell you, Anita, right. You wrote 2,000 words too many.
Right.
Right. Said, okay.
Oh, I get it. I get it. So, actually, let's go to right now. So which Rotary? You're Roy Grande, the president?
I'm the president for this year. So it's July 1st, 2026.
Congratulations. You want that, or did they make you do it? A lot of times you get pressured into that position.
I wanted to do it.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm very happy to do it.
Nice.
So then I end June 30th, 2027.
Okay.
That's one whole year.
It is, yeah. No, well, congratulations. And I'm glad you wanted to, because I know a lot of these groups, sometimes they're like, who wants to be the president? And they're like, not me.
I do. I'll do it.
Right?
Yeah.
And I'm sure that keeps you busy. Rotaries, you know, it's good. I haven't been involved with the Arroyo Grande one, but I've been involved with some of the North County ones, and there's a lot of good things happening in most of these.
Well, you have great clubs up here, because we all know each other. It's
right.
You know, District 5240 is 73 clubs.
Okay.
So Paso and Atascadero, this whole area is part of 52.
Oh, really?
5240, yeah.
Okay, cool. Great. Cool, cool, yeah. And so are you looking for any great events on the Rotary we might want to know about what's happening?
We have a fish fry in September during the Harvest Festival in the village of Arroyo Grande, and you want to be there for that.
Okay, down in the village. When was it again?
It's the 25th of September. Friday.
So it's coming up, not too far off.
And then we also intrigue the students at the high school who are in Interact, to come and help us, and they do the serving and cleaning for us.
Perfect. That's cool.
It's a wonderful. Well, the Harvest Festival is great because what you're going to celebrate is the roots of Arroyo Grande, the harvest process, and agriculture.
Exactly.
Which is very dear to me, even though I'm from Miami.
A little different agriculture going over on that part. What part? Yeah, Miami.
Miami.
Yeah.
Which is now 2.3 million people.
Oh, yeah.
It's enormous.
Yeah. How do you like the temperature differential, or the climate, I should say, moving from Grover from Miami?
Well, that's why I'm here.
Yeah, right? That's what I was going to say, because I know of people that visit there, and they're like, man, the weather's just insane. I don't know how people live here but you get used to it if you live there. But
you get used to it, but you all have to get up every day and say, remember, you're living in the tropics.
Right.
That's all.
I used to do a lot of consulting for agriculture, and I'd go across the United States. And I remember going to Iowa, and they told me, oh, you're going to be miserable here if you haven't been there, because it was the middle of the summer, you know, and they're just like, bring lots of clothes and blah, blah, blah. And like the first 2 days, it is just like here. Not humid. It's beautiful. I'm like, what are these people talking about?
And then what?
Third day, I opened the door and I was just drenched. And I'm like, okay, this is what they're talking about.
That's Miami. Exactly. Right?
That's funny.
No, I'm happy to be here.
Right. So what got you into the etiquette business? And you actually taught etiquette? Did you have a school or do you?
No, I have a complete course that I wrote years ago. And I present that to all of the parks and recreation commissioners. And they say, well, you should be teaching at through our city. So I do it in Grover and in Pismo.
Oh, cool. Cool, cool, cool.
So sometimes there are 30 students. Sometimes they're all girls and one boy.
Right.
Sometimes they're a lot of girls and a lot of boys. We like to have the little boys understand. I mean, they're coming in. The age is between 8 and 12 is what I teach.
Right.
And have a couple of breaks because, you know, attention span is the whole issue.
Yeah. Well, that's a good thing, though. I think it's especially in this day and age, I see a difference in kids. And, you know, it's interesting. Sometimes I'll go around the county. I used to be involved with a lot of coaching. And
well, you know.
You go around and, like, for one thing, I will tell you, and I'm not going to name which city or whatever, but I could almost tell you where certain kids came from based off their etiquette. Like, and I will tell, I'll name one city. The kids in Templeton had very good. It was sir, ma'am, open the door, da 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 da. But you might go, I'm not going to name the bad cities, but you'd go somewhere else and be like, oh, they're probably from here. It's kind of a little biased, but I could kind of tell where people were from based when I went to sporting events. I go, oh, they were probably from here, and that team's probably from here. And more than half the time, I was right, you know, and based off of etiquette and how they behave themselves.
Probably also how they're dressed.
Oh, yeah. Right.
You can tell which ones have parents that say, you're not really going to wear that today, are you?
Oh, yeah. And what's interesting, if you go down to the fair and people watch, there's some things that I go, man. And I think I was with Renee the other night and I was walking and I go,
she's great.
Right. And I was like, I don't know as a dad, because I'm watching this dad that was probably in his late 40s and with this young lady that was probably 16, beautiful girl. My kids would have never went out of the house looking like that. I'll just say, not to the fair, not when you have a bunch of drunk older men that, like, you know, I don't know.
I already got that image. Thank you.
Right. Yeah. And it's like, she's walking with her dad and I'm just like, I would like my daughter. They wouldn't even try to look like that. Cause they knew they might sneak off and change. I don't know. I can't stop that, but there's no way. Like if I would have saw one of my girls out looking like that, there's no way. So it's interesting.
By the way, I did teach all of the sororities out at Cal Poly one year.
Really? Really? That's awesome.
We had them all come into a huge building that they had out there in a great big room, and I have a slide presentation, and I gave out all my books, and then the first question was, I said, give me your questions. Tell me what's on your mind. This one girl raised her hand, and she said, can I go to bed on the first date? And I said, I've been talking to you for 2.5 hours. That's the only thing on your mind?
Right. Right. Oh, man. Yeah, it's an interesting world. And I do actually, just so that everybody out there listening, I want you to call in whenever you like and ask etiquette questions. Because I think, you know, I'll tell my story. And I told you this during the break. We don't like to admit here there's other radio stations, but there are. And you're on some of them. And
I always wanted to be here.
There you go. Thank you. And I was listening to you years ago. It had been 6-8 years ago, at least. And I called in and I don't know why I asked this question, but I did, because I have a tendency when people say thank you, opening a door, whatever it is, I'll be like, no problem. And you very much told me how wrong I was for saying that, and how ask you if they had a problem? Did it look like they had a problem? Did you perceive some problem they had? Or should you have just said, you're welcome? You know, and she goes, I find it very rude when people say that. And I never thought about it. I just, you know what I mean? I guess I've been doing it my whole life and never thought about it, which is funny because my mom was big on etiquette. And, but I guess, I don't know. I guess maybe at home I would say thank you, but then when I got out, I got lazy. I don't know what it was. But, and then I remember years later, I think 3 or 4 years later, you were on there And I called in and I told you the story, and you thought it was sweet that I remembered.
Of course.
Right. I literally just called in to say, you know what? You told me this. And honestly, to this day, every once in a while, I'll catch myself and I think of you. So believe it or not, some guy that you didn't have any idea existed thinks about you a couple times a year because I go to say that. I'm like, oh, Mrs. Etiquette told me that's not
Thank
right.
Thank you very much. I don't know where that came from, but I know that you hear what your peers say.
Right.
You might listen to your parents, but you hear what your peers say.
Exactly.
And, you know, the new thing in the restaurants now, when you go in and you say who you are and they'll say, do you want me to sat you right now?
Sat you? Is that what they're saying?
Excuse me, what did you say?
I don't know. Maybe I don't pay attention to that. Yeah, I don't like that. Sat you. That's been like, for one, past tense.
Yeah. Well, I don't know where they learned
right.
English.
Yeah. Well, the problem is if you look at some of what the schools are turning out in the grades that people are putting out, it's not good at all the schools. Some of them are better than others, but I think, they just kind of pass these kids anymore. They're not held responsible. They're not held back and not kind of made to learn. And we're in a different world for sure. I mean, I went to private schools growing up.
Well, there.
And it was interesting because I went to public high school here in Paso. Went to private school before that. And I did go to eighth grade here. But I wanted so bad to get out. Yeah, no. I wanted so bad to be with all the other kids. You know what I mean? So I finally talked my mom into letting me go to public school, which was probably, I don't know. What I do know is my senior year, we were learning things in English that I learned in third, fourth, and fifth grade. That I knew, you know, how to dissect a sentence, how to, you know, blah, 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 blah. And I was like,
phrase.
Yeah. And I just remember thinking the reason I passed, because I was kind of that crazy kid, is I didn't have to work at it because I already knew. So it's not a great compliment to how I paid attention in high school, but it is to Trinity Lutheran, I guess. So, but we do have a quick break, and we'll be right back with Miss Etiquette. Again, if you have any questions, the phone lines will be open at 238-5775, 238-KPRL. We'll be right back.
Ace Auto Care in Atascadero, the best price and service on brakes, tires, smog checks, oil changes, and more. Ace Auto Care, all your vehicle needs, everything you want.
Fox News, I'm Tom Graham. Pentagon leadership visiting Capitol Hill today to request more funding from the Senate Appropriations Committee following intensified airstrikes against Iran.
The Pentagon is slated to run out of money at the end of the month if Congress doesn't intervene. Secretary Hegseth and General Dan Kane taking questions from the Senate Appropriations Committee about their $1.5 trillion defense budget request, but also the $67 billion supplemental that they will need for the Iran war. That's part of the $87 billion supplemental that has not been funded at this point.
Fox's Jennifer Griffin. Tropical storm Bertha strengthening along the northern Gulf. The system expected to lash coastal communities in parts of Florida, Alabama, Mississippi, and Louisiana. Looking at strong wind gusts, heavy rain, and flooding. America is listening to Fox News.
Do you use propane for your home or business? Family-owned and operated, Delta Liquid Energy has provided local area residents with dependable and courteous propane service since 1936. From home heating and cooking to powering your irrigation engine pump or forklift, propane can do it all. Don't forget their location. Paso Robles refills propane bottles of all sizes Monday through Friday and has a dump station for your RV. Learn more. Call Delta Liquid Energy 805-239-0616 or go online DeltaLiquidEnergy.com.
And welcome back to Protecting What Matters. Again, my name's Eric Gorham. Barry's out for the next few weeks. I think at least 4 or 5 weeks he's going to be out. So you might have to deal with me a little bit. I'll be filling in for Karen, too. So you may be on Tuesday, Wednesdays, and Thursdays, you might get a little more of me than you want. We'll see. But I think we have some good shows again. A lot of you know my number, whatever. I can put it out there. But if you want a particular show or you want to hear a particular subject, let me know. You can always give me a text on my personal cell at 238. I'm going way back to landlines. 286-2355, 805-286-2355. More than welcome to let me know what you might want to hear about, if there's some kind of show we did in the past or something we haven't touched. And I think this is a great show because I don't think we've ever done this here. Maybe we have. I don't know. Maybe Jamie did something like this years ago. I could see her maybe, but I don't ever remember having a show on etiquette from an expert that wrote the book. I'm giving you credit. Come on.
Okay, thank you. It's a wonderful subject. It really does touch you every single day.
It does. And I think sometimes, like I said, my story, it's something you don't think about sometimes. And you get so into the use of doing something, because I remember you had said something on that show and I went, maybe what I'm saying isn't what I should be saying. You know what I mean? So I called in to ask, and I guess I'd still be saying it, not thinking about it.
When someone gives you a gift, you're supposed to say thank you, correct?
Yes.
What do most people say? Oh, you shouldn't have done that.
Right.
So now you make the person who gave you the gift feel terrible.
Right. Yeah. So why'd you do that? What? Take it back.
That's right.
I'm going to start doing that, I think. When I give my kids a gift and they tell me you shouldn't have done that, I'm just going to grab it out of their hand. I didn't. Never mind. I still have the receipt. Right.
Say thank you.
Right. Just say thank you. Exactly. Oh, man. So what other faux pas do you see out there you think that people do regularly and maybe don't realize the faux pas?
Okay, thank you. When you're going into a building, if someone's on the other side of the door, of course you can see it's a glass door, and they want to come out, you allow them to come out because they're going to make space for you to go into.
Right.
But most people, it's a game.
It's like going on an elevator. Ooh. And the people are trying to come in before they let you out.
Right.
And there's only so much room in there, right?
It's
so I guess it's the same. Yeah, it's common sense. Interesting. Yeah, and you do see that quite a bit. And I guess, I don't know, I'm like one of those people. I think it's been instilled in me to open doors.
Oh, that's lovely.
And I went out with this woman years ago, and she goes, are you going to do this every time? And I go, what? She goes, every time we walk to the car, you open the door. And I'm like, that's just like, it's something you're going to have to get used to, because it's just what I do. You know what I mean? If there's a woman there, I don't, if it's my buddy, I'm not going over and opening the door for her. But I don't care if it's you, just somebody I just met, and we're going to go have lunch. I'm going to open the door for you. You know, it's just, I don't know. It's just, to me, I don't know how you don't do, I don't know. You know, and I watch some of these people, I've seen grown men too, where I'm just like, man, you couldn't have just held that door for a minute. You're in such a hurry. You didn't want to be second in line, or, you know what I mean?
What's the hurry?
Right, exactly.
Another thing people do is when, after they've had dinner, they'll take the cloth napkin, a beautiful linen napkin, and they'll put it in the plate.
Oh, yeah.
No, you don't do that.
Right.
Food goes in the plate.
Right.
The napkin goes on the side of the plate.
Mm-hmm. No, exactly. Yeah, and I think people may think like, oh, I'm getting it ready for the server or whatever.
Well, then they have to pick it out.
Yeah, then they
gravy.
Have to pick it. Right. Exactly. Yeah, I think I've been guilty of that. Usually with just a paper napkin, because I think if it's linen, I don't want to put it on a plate. Well, but I do it. I have to admit I do it with just a regular napkin. Something.
But you won't
anymore. I think I won't. Yeah. Oddly enough, and... I remember things like that. Like people always go, how do you remember that? I'm like, I don't know if I remember your face, but I remember that little thing you told me. Like, I do that all the time. Like, who? Like, you know, you get to a point, I'm sure you know a lot of people. I've been, you know, grown up here, I know you get to know so many people, but I'm horrible if I haven't seen you in a couple of years. I'll be like, But I'll remember some silly thing you told me or what we did some night that nobody else remembers. And I had a friend of mine years ago, I was taking somebody to the hospital and I told him this crazy story. Because I was trying to get their mind off of it. We were going to LA and it was a bad situation. I'm going to tell, it's a true story, but it's just crazy and it goes on and on. And it's just, you can't, you know, that comedy of errors that happens over days. I remember she looked at me and she goes, let me call Ryan. Call Ryan. And I go, why do you want me to call Ryan? She goes, I don't believe the story. This is just too unbelievable. And I call Ryan and she's asking him and he goes, If Eric told you it happened, he's like, I don't remember, but it happened. Because that guy remembers. Yeah. So that's the exact kind of things I remember is, you know, like I said, not saying, like open a door saying you're welcome. And that stuck with me since you told me that. Some lady I didn't even know told me that. And I didn't even know. I've heard your name for years. But when you did that show, I didn't equate Mrs. Etiquette with Anita Showers. You know what I mean? Because I didn't know. I mean, he might have said it, but I didn't equate it because I've just been hearing that name on the radio for years due to what you did over down south. And
yeah, I'm south from you.
Yep. Right?
The deep south.
The deep south, yeah.
It's 52 miles from here.
It's interesting is like, right? It's people don't like going over that grade.
Oh, it's so beautiful.
It is, you know, and but people, especially from South County, they generally don't like coming to North County. And I guess, you know, you got stuff like the beach and stuff, so we like going over there. But
well, we have the beach and we have Splash Cafe, which is quite famous.
Oh, yeah. And they got rid of the one in Slo, so now you're forced down to Pismo.
Well, then you can go to the Preserve, which is absolutely beautiful.
You know, I have been meaning, so I want to do that this year. I've never done it.
What you want to do, may I suggest, is call the Land Conservancy and find out. Number one, what days are going to be open.
Okay.
And number two, what days they're going to have the horses and the trucks and the trailers, so you don't really get into that.
Okay.
It used to be Horse Thursday, but I think they've changed that since.
Interesting.
It's 11 years now it's been there.
Right. Yeah, no, I've heard about it. Everybody tells me they go up there. I've seen, I think I follow it on Facebook or something.
It's
so
beautiful.
Every time somebody sees a snake or a bobcat or something, yeah, you see the pictures. They all go up on their website or the Facebook page.
You know, how fortunate that we have that.
Oh,
how
yeah.
How fortunate that it was there and somebody had a keen eye and wondered what that piece of paper was that was stuck on a post. And it was a note from the county that taxes were due.
Oh, really?
That's how it all started.
Really? I didn't know that. So was that a tax sale or?
Well, there was a sale and the young lady took the information to the city and said, does anyone know about this? Maybe we should find out if this is available. So it's, what, 960 acres?
Did they get a good price?
It took four or five people that had more than deep top pockets to begin the negotiations.
Okay. Yeah. And was it donated or was it, how did that all work?
Those four or five people put the money in that was necessary to get it going.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Interesting. I didn't know the story of it. That's interesting.
I mean, I'm sure there has to be a book. If there's not a book, I'll write it.
There we go. There we go. And she's going to do it faster than me, unfortunately.
No, I have you help me. Because you do photography, don't you?
I do. Yeah, that used to be. I mean, I still do, but it used to be something. I used to sell photography, mostly stuff from, I did a lot of like cattle shoots, actually a lot of landscapes and a lot of sunsets over the ocean. I used to actually really enjoy that. I still do. I just don't get out as much, but yeah, I think we could collaborate and come up with a good book on the Dana.
We will.
Or not Dana Reserve, but the I'm going too far south, I think now, but
well, that's a very beautiful part of the county too,
right? Oh yeah. Yeah, and then, yeah, somebody told me, too, like, if you do go, get there early because of parking.
At the Dana Adobe?
No, down at the Preserve there.
Oh, the Preserve. Well, it's limited parking, and then you have to go under the overpass. But the way it is done today, ladies and gentlemen, is you have to go online to the Pismo Preserve, and there is a button that you press, of course, and then there is a form that comes up, and you fill it out, and then you download it, and put it on the dash of your car.
Oh, really?
And then they let you into that area.
Okay, otherwise, so I wouldn't even known that. I wouldn't have known to do that.
Aren't you happy?
I am. I knew something good was going to come out of this show. I'm not going to get towed now, you know.
It's not that they wouldn't let you in if you don't have that piece of paper on your dash.
Okay, all right. So there's actually like a guard shack?
There are a few guards there that just walk around and make sure the people that are parking there are for the Preserve.
All right, this is all your very good stuff to know.
Because right across the street, you know, we're putting in our third lane of 101.
Right. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I got caught in that coming back from the fair.
But isn't it exciting?
Right. Yeah, I think it was Wednesday night I got caught in that traffic. I was like, oh, but it'll be nice when it's done.
December of 27.
Okay.
That's nice. What they're shooting for.
Nice. Yeah. Yeah. I didn't realize they were doing that. And all of a sudden I was like, it was dead stop there Wednesday night.
It's the pilings. They're just so beautiful.
Oh yeah.
All that steel.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. No. And, I wish they'd just make that whole stretch three lanes from Avila all the way, because it ends up bottlenecking every time when you get in
there. The bottleneck is because people see the ocean.
All right. You know what my kids used to do? We'd come around that bend, and my two oldest, and they'd be like, the sparkle pool. Because, you know, the sun hits it, and it's sparkly out there when you come around the bend.
Oh, I like that.
And even either way we came, when we were going south or coming back, we'd always hit that section, and it'd be, oh, the sparkle pool. So,
and you remember that.
Oh, yeah. No, it was cute. Then they did it for years. And I bet you if I took my daughter, who's 28 now, and drove her past that, she would probably remember that and go, the sparkle pool.
Yeah. It's beautiful.
Oh, yeah, it is.
But,
yeah.
You know, you come up here, and this is beautiful.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's definitely different. And, yeah, it's different because I've been spending a lot of time down there lately. And, you know, here it's like, I think the best part of North County in the summer is the evenings, whether that's sitting out with a glass of wine or enjoying the sunset. And I'm a big sunset person, take the dogs out and do my thing. And,
because we can.
Yeah, because we can. And there's great sunset. Yeah, you can get up early if you wanted to. But that's not me. I don't know if that's you, but I'm not a morning person.
Oh, I get up at 3.
Do you? Okay. Well, you got to stay up later. No, I'm
in order to get it all completed.
Right.
Whatever's on.
When you're working on those books, you got to wake up at 2 probably and just knock it out.
Yeah, it comes to you.
Right? Oh, that's funny. I've never been, you know, interesting enough, I've had so many jobs that are early morning jobs, and I'm not a morning person.
Were you a paper boy?
I did a little bit, yeah, in the probably, yeah, maybe early 80s, late 70s. Yeah.
Did you walk?
I think it was a Paso Press back then, oh, bike, and you draped it over the front handlebars.
Wasn't that great?
Yeah. Or, you know, or you'd have a buddy that did it, and he'd be, oh, we're going out of town, can you fill in? And like, okay, oh, and then you'd have to go out with him a couple times to figure out what the route was, and yeah. Yeah, interesting stuff.
And what did that teach you?
Well, it taught you, how to roll a newspaper. Because remember, it'd come and you had to roll them. But no, it taught you, I think, a lot of time management. I mean, there's so many different things it taught you. Just responsibilities in general as a young person. But you know, a lot of those things, it's interesting because, you know, I think some of the things that you teach that maybe are a little deeper is when, like, you, and I remember having this customers, and they're down on this part of town. I would fill in for a buddy of mine on this side of town every once in a while. And I think, you know, looking back at it, I remember newspapers stacking up on somebody's front thing. And I said, okay, well, I went and knocked on the door because I'm like, am I not supposed to deliver here? Or, you know what I mean? And it ended up, it was an elderly couple. The husband had died, and she was actually, had fallen and wedged herself in the bathroom. And she heard me knocking on the door, and she'd been there for like 2 days. And I think it taught me one of the more valuable things.
Did she call out to you?
She did. When, you know, I was knocking on the door, I could hear it very faintly because she was not in good shape. Like, she was in rough shape. And I remember going in the house, and it might have even been pre-911. I don't remember, but I remember calling. We knew back then you knew how to call the police and called them up, et cetera. But it was, I think the lesson for me, one of the biggest things is just a little bit of care can go a long ways. You notice something awkward, take 5 minutes. Could be nothing, could be something else, but, you know, and then, you know, that woman's eyes, I saved her life. And whether I did or not is irrelevant. In her eyes, I did. And it just because I saw a couple stacked up newspapers.
Did she say thank you to you?
She did. I went and visited her in the hospital. She did not that day. She was in very rough shape. I think she did when I walked in. She was like, oh, thank God, kind of thing. Thank you for coming in. And I was like, God, I must have been like 8 years old or something, 10 years old. So I was young. And somewhere between 8 and 10, I don't remember. But Yeah, I think, you know, you learn a lot of things and a lot of responsibilities, but I think being observant is one thing I garnered from that. And I don't know if I thought I was observant back then. I just, what I thought I was doing is, am I supposed to be? I'm going to knock on the door and see if they get the paper, and maybe I'm not supposed to be delivering here.
Very good.
You know, and it turns out you help somebody, and, you know.
Was she all alone in the house, the husband?
She was. The husband had passed. I remember my mom taking me a couple times to see her in the hospital. She was in there for like a week, I think, at Twin Cities here. And, yeah, I saw her a couple times, and she was very appreciative, but it was just, and that was something I think my mom did too. You know, you help somebody out, now go see, you know what I mean? And it doesn't just end with the phone call. And
no.
It's checking back. I don't know. I think those lessons have served me maybe the best in life, because I actually care about the little things to me. And I had this conversation with somebody the other night. I was like, you know, for me, it's all about, everybody can do big things. And I think a lot of people do. But when, like, if I'm sitting here and you're my friend and you're always there for the little things, you're going to be there for the big things too, but it's the little things that I think mean the most, that especially when you're under stress, just doing that little thing, going, you know, taking somebody to lunch, taking somebody to dinner, taking somebody some flowers when you know they're having a bad day, whatever it is, those little things add up, and you know, you never know how they're going to affect someone's life.
Well, the key there is to extend self.
Right. And be there. And I'll tell you one thing I don't like with, and I don't know if you can tell me this etiquette or not, but it's the fact that, like, say you're having a hard time and I go, well, just call me, whatever I can do for you. I don't like that, because I'd rather just do something for you, because I'm putting the onus on you to ask me for something. And you're in bad shape. I mean, this is all hypothetical stuff. So, what, you know, and maybe you don't want to ask for something. Maybe, you know what I mean? So I'd rather say, hey, let's go do this, or let me come over and cook you dinner, whatever it is, doesn't matter. But that's one little pet peeve I've come up with in the last 5 years, is I don't like people saying, just call me, or just, you know,
just call me.
What can I do? Whatever I can do, I'll do there. Just give me a call. Well, just do something for that person. And maybe in the process, you'll find out they need something bigger that you can help them with, or whatever it is. But,
well, as the way you give your words to another person is the way that person is going to open up to you.
Right.
If you do it incorrectly, you make a demand, you're not going to hear anything.
Right. And I will tell you, I've heard this story. This isn't my story. I've heard it, and it's from the speaker that I listen to every once in a while. But he said, you know, I went on Facebook one day, and I saw somebody, he had posted years ago about Taco Tuesday, how great it was. And then he goes, I knew they were having a hard time, so I ordered him and his wife some tacos and had them stand. You know, you could do the Uber food or whatever now.
The Uber food. I like that.
And, right?
Yeah.
And, but, and this goes to, you never know how something's going to affect somebody, because he goes, and I'm tracking it, because I guess you can track the order, and it goes to the house. And he goes, within a minute, my phone rings. And he goes, here's one of my best friends. I don't realize what's happening in his world. Just lost his business. Had to shut his restaurant down. They don't know how they're going to pay the rent. And he goes, this guy's telling me, and he's crying on the phone, you don't know what this means. To you, it was a couple tacos. To me and my wife, it's hope. And he keeps going. He's like, now we're all crying. You know what I mean? But you never know how those little gestures affect. And if he would have just said, call me if you need something, that doesn't happen. He spent $30 in tacos and, like, had a profound moment in somebody's life. How often does that happen? It doesn't happen by saying, call me if you need something. That's, you know, right. What I mean?
Say what it is.
Right. Yeah. Or just say, hey, I'd love to do this for you. You know, whatever it is, I'd rather you just do it. I'm the type of person that, like, I might call to make sure you're home or something, but I'm just going to show up and do it, you know, or I'm going to invite you over, or whatever it is. I'm not going to wait to find out what it is unless I have usually you have an idea, but you don't always.
Well, sometimes you have a feeling.
Right.
That's what you're saying.
Yeah.
You have a feeling that something's not quite right.
Our guts are, we need to learn to trust them more, I feel like, because you're not usually wrong. You may not know what it is, but I think, you know, you notice something odd. If I knew you were off today, I'd be like, you know what I mean? Like, anyway, I don't know.
Well, you can tell with people that you really know.
Right.
If they're off or on.
Exactly.
And then you extend yourself.
100%. And we'll be right back with Protecting What Matters. And we do have a caller, but I'm going to ask you to call back right after the commercial break. Thank you.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL is brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
I'm Liz Klayman, and this is the Fox Business Report.
The major averages ending higher, helped by a recovery in chip stocks as investors get in gear for earnings reports from some of the country's biggest tech companies on Wednesday, including Alphabet, Tesla, and IBM. Semiconductors and memory chip makers climbed for a second day. Energy stocks rose along with the price of oil, with West Texas Intermediate crude up over 84 bucks a barrel. Shares of 3M surged 7% after the industrial conglomerate beat earnings expectations and raised its full-year guidance. And shares of SpaceX rose over 2%, snapping its seven-session losing streak. The Dow winners, Goldman Sachs, Caterpillar, and United Health Group. The Dow decliners, Microsoft, Boeing, and Salesforce. The Dow up 385 points. The Nasdaq higher by 329. S&P 500 up 66. That's your Fox Business Report. I'm Hillary Barsky, invested in you.
You're probably listening to this in your car, so let me ask you, would you drive without insurance? Of course not. So why is your retirement portfolio unprotected? Gold is portfolio insurance. It helps de-risk your savings when markets get unpredictable. Noble Gold Investments has helped thousands of Americans do exactly that, with no high-pressure sales and thousands of five-star reviews. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com. Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals involves risk. Consult with your tax or financial professional before making any investment decisions.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
Summertime is savings time at the Mattress Specialist in Paso Robles. Here's Rich London.
I got things on sale because I'm constantly getting things in. I'm getting the deals for everybody. So I've got high-end beds with Chatham & Wells. I've got medium-high with Eastman House. I've got other lines that are lesser expensive, but all are good quality beds, top quality to good quality.
The Mattress Specialist is at 13th and Riverside in Paso Robles.
Do you worry about where to take your car for repairs? Who you can trust? Mike and his team at the Autobahn are a safe bet. Located in Templeton, behind the donut shop, just off Main Street. They service Mercedes, BMWs, Volkswagens, Porsches, and Audis. And the Autobahn is certified in those cars and in repairing Land Rovers, Volvos, and Mini Coopers. Call the Autobahn, 434-2200.
We are back with Protecting What Matters. We have Mrs. Etiquette, Anita Showers, in studio, and we do have a phone call, so we'll grab that call right now. Good afternoon. Thanks for calling in.
Good afternoon. Hi, Anita. This is Emily with the Symphony.
Oh, hello, Emily with the Symphony. How are you?
Hi. I'm good, and I have an etiquette question.
May I help you?
Yes, so what do you do when you're at a dinner party and you really don't like what they're feeding you?
That's a good, I like that question.
You want to be somewhat social, so very gently you're going to move some of that food around on the plate.
There you go.
And if there's bread and butter, certainly make yourself available to that.
Mm-hmm.
So that you're at least eating, because what you don't like to do at a dinner party is not eat, because that's why you're there. You're there to eat.
And I will tell you a mistake I made years ago. I do not like potato salad. I don't like the concept of potato salad. I don't like putting potatoes and mayonnaise together. It just grosses me out. I don't know what it is. But I remember going to this dinner, and it was this elderly woman at the time, my ex-wife, you know, we were married at the time, it was like her great aunt, and it was just weird. Anyway, I won't go into it, but she serves potato salad, so what do I do? I'm like, I'm going to eat that first and try to wash it down with everything else, and then what did I get because of that? Oh, honey, you love my potato salad. So yes, I think you have better advice than I would have given.
There must be something on that table that appeals to you.
Right. Yeah. Well, fortunately, I feel like nowadays people don't have the formal dinner parties. So it's more buffet, so you can kind of pick and choose. But I have been in that situation where I'm like, I'm a picky eater. So it's like, oh gosh, I can't choke this down.
Right.
Well, make sure that bread is within reach.
Yeah. I love that idea.
Need the pitcher of iced tea close by to wash it down with. Or the wine bottle. I don't know. Whichever one suits your palate.
Well, Emily, thank you very much for calling.
Yes, thank you. This was enjoyable.
All right. Thanks for calling in. And again, the phone lines are open. I'd love to do some etiquette questions. 238-5775, 238-KPRL. We can also text into that same number. Actually, I'm going to say this. Somebody asked to identify your guest again. So we have Anita Showers, Miss Etiquette, coming in from Grover. What were we saying? Grover City or Grover?
It's Grover Beach right now.
Yeah. But you've been there longer than Grover Beach, right?
Well, I was there when it was Grover City. And when I arrived in the 70s, they had 4,800 people in the city. We're now 13,000.
Okay.
363.
And it is changing for sure. That area is changing, and hopefully for the better. I think it probably needs some, like, is that, that's county or is that actually a city?
No, we're a city.
We've okay, so it's incorporated? Oh, okay, so it's been a city for a while.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah, like city. I said, I'm a little, like, I love going down there, but I don't know the how everything works down in the South County. I can be somewhat of an expert about North County, but not so much
we'll
on
trade so. Information.
Right, yeah. Right.
It's great.
And I just go, I went out with a gal a while back that where Giuseppe's is was her grandparents' restaurant.
Oh, Pless's.
Yeah.
That's right.
And it was interesting because I was going to take her to Giuseppe's one night. And she goes, I can't go there, Eric. And I go, why? She goes, last time I ate, because they lived there too.
Yes.
So they had the restaurant in the front, house in the back. She goes, last time I was there, I was in my grandparents' bedroom eating dinner.
Oh,
it
my God.
Doesn't sit with me. Right?
Well, you know, The Bank of America now is the other Giuseppe's.
Yeah.
That was purchased, and now it's a really lovely little place. Limited ceiling and fantastic deli.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I went there when they first opened. I've been there a few times, but I was doing a job down there kind of by, Thousand Oaks?
Thousand Oaks.
Yeah, that housing development right next. I think it was probably part of their property at one point, I'm guessing. And, took everybody down there for a sandwich, and that was the first time I went, and it was surprisingly good. We sat outside,
you can sit outside in Pismo Beach,
right? Right.
Well, you can sit outside here.
Oh yeah,
just for a limited period of time. Because what is it today? 98 degrees.
Probably, yeah.
It's lovely.
Yep. And then, yeah, like I said, I think the evenings are the best part in the summer here because it's in the 70s usually. I mean, we can have a 40 degree shift here, 30 to 40 degrees.
You have all the seasons here. That's why people love this season.
Right. And I think past those change, I think it's been probably one of the more premier places in the county for food. Definitely. Not that, like, there's some good places. I like Rosa's and, Ada's. And what's the one down in the village? The Italian place.
Rooster Creek.
Yeah. Well, I went there for the first time not too long ago.
And did you like that?
I did. We went and had drinks and I think some appetizers.
And you did have some food.
Yes, yes. We had to. You got to make sure.
And you've been to Andrini's, the coffee shop.
I haven't, no. All right.
That's across the street.
I would get, I would complain to Renee. She should be taking me to these places. So if you complain for me, then it's not me complaining.
I will complain on your behalf to Renee.
You're like, you haven't taken that man to these places? Yeah.
May I say one thing about eating that people always ask me? My husband likes to lick the knife during dinner when we go out. I said, well, if you allow him to do that at home, he's just going to transfer that to when you go out to dinner. So you need to nip that in the bud, perhaps.
Right. Yeah. No, I know, we had, that was a short section.
Done.
We'll be, oh my goodness, was that it? We're at the end. If you have a few words, if you want to say a few things before we go, I'll leave it with you.
I appreciate very much the opportunity to be here. I always wanted to be on your show.
Awesome. We'll have to have again. We'll have to do an actual show. We get some people calling in, and I think we kind of explained who you are and what you're about, and maybe we can do another show in the future and
thank
do etiquette.
Much.
All right, we'll be back tomorrow. Tune in.
Join us next Tuesday for Protect What Matters the Most with Barry Fisher. Send your questions and show topic ideas to barry@blazinbear.com. AM 1230 KPRL, 99.3 FM, KPRL.com, Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.